Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Zvachim Daf Tesvav. We begin right on top on the first line. Efshalitikuna, Eloy Efshalitikuna. This is back to yesterday regarding Halacha, transporting the dam, the blood of the carbon to the mizbech, shalai baregel, not by foot, meaning typically halacha involves walking the blood to the mizbech. This Kohen decided to pass the dam. There was no actual walking done. We concluded yesterday, halacha shalai baregel, if there's no walking involved, loishma halacha, that's not a fulfillment of halacha. Now the next question is, suppose he did pass it, can you fix that? Can you rectify it by redoing it? Can you bring it back and start over again? Efshal etikuna, could you be masaking that process? Eloi efshal etikuna, perhaps once it was done incorrectly, you can't rectify it. Tashma, here comes a raya. So this we had yesterday. Kibel ha-koyin v'nosan l'apostol yasur l'kasher. So the halacha is if the kasher, the qualified koyin, collected the blood in the container, and then he passed it without walking to a apostle, to an unqualified man next to him. Yasur l'kasher. Halacha is the blood is now returned to the kasher, to the qualified kohen, to resume the process. Now, unihi nami the yachser hakasher v'yikablero. There are two ways to learn these words of yachser l'kasher, as we discussed yesterday. One way would be the kohen is here, l'kasher. The apostle is to his right. The Mizbeach is to his right. So basically he passed it towards the Mizbeach. And all the Mishnah means to say is that the Kohen will now just walk around to the far side, meaning to the right of the apostle, between him and the Mizbeach, and take it from him and continue lihailacha, which would indicate that passing is not an issue. It's okay. That was one way to learn. However, but if we work with a system that a different perspective in the mission, our understanding of the mission is that halacha shalai baregel does not work. In which case, when the mission says yachzer l'kasher, it means to say he has to give it back in the direction where it came from. So the first way to learn was, I'm standing here, pass it to my right, to the apostle, then I walk around to his right, take it from him, and continue. Because passing to him is okay. However, if passing to him is not okay, because halacha shalai baregel is loishma halacha, like we're going with now, so then, what the Mishnah means is that the apostle has to give it back to the kasher, put it where it started, to the starting point, and then he'll start the process over again, because when he passed it to the apostle, it was an invalid halacha. According to this understanding, passing is not considered halacha, now, and you can't even fix it, so how could you rectify it? How can you start over again? The halacha became apostle when he passed it initially to the apostle. Well, it says the more misavers the kai zor gavo. You're assuming that the zar, the stranger, the non-kayan, the apostle, was positioned between the kayan and mizbeach, meaning towards the inside, towards the mizbeach, in which case passing to him is considered a fulfillment, somewhat a fulfillment of halacha. There was a halacha act done in an incorrect way. No, the zar was standing to the left of the kohen, away, further away from the mizbeach. So there was no halacha done at all. Halacha means being transported towards, not away from the mizbeach, right? Loi. No, the kohen zar baroi. The kohen was standing outside, meaning further away from the mizbeach. So when he passed it to him, there was no halacha done at all. Certainly, the kohen could just take it back from him and start over again. We're speaking about a fellow who passed towards the mizbeach. It's lacking in halacha. And the question was, could it be redone? Itmar. Here goes another statement from Rabbi Yochanan on this topic. Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha shel regel is psula. Halacha without regel is actually possible. Not only is it a non-fulfillment, but it actually invalidates. It's a negative. Alma, apparently, lo yefshal tikuni, he holds you can't correct it. Esvei Rav Nachman, he has to question Lula. Really, you can't correct it? The Mishnah later on says, nishbach min hakli ala ritzpa. So after the shechita was done, the dam spilled right on the floor before he had a chance to collect it, to do kabbalah vasof, and then he collected it and put it into a... Sorry, nishbach min hakli ala ritzpa. First, the dam trickled into the kli, collected it, and then it spilled out of the container onto the floor. Vasofei, he recollected into the kli, it's kosher, because after all, shechita was done properly, kabbalah was done properly, just because it spilled out, it's okay, you can put it back in. Now, when it spills on the floor, we're assuming it spills in all directions, including towards the mizbeach. Now, that was a halacha, shelo biregel. It was transported without walking, the blood to the mizbeach. According to you, Ula, halacha shelo biregel is permanently invalid, without the ability to rectify. Answers the Gemara, hachab my skin on kishyatz lachutz. The Mishnah is speaking where the blood trickled away from the mizbeach. Really, lebroi nafik? Is that probable? That blood would just trickle in one direction, away, legavoi, towards the mizbeach, lo yail, it didn't go in? I mean, it's a liquid, it just, you know, splatters equally in all directions. Well, says the Gemara b'makim madrin, either we're speaking it's on a slope, sloping away from the mizbeach. You can speak about a little, you know, a hole in the floor, so it just fell right in there without trickling towards the mizbeach. But you say b'smicha, or we're speaking about blood which was close to congealment, in which case, yeah, it can sort of stay in its place without splattering in all directions. V'ichpal tan l'shmin kolhani. So you mean this tan of the Mishnah trouble himself to bring out teach us a case which only pertains to very specific, unusual circumstances? Unlikely. Void, furthermore, I have a question on you. Adotoni bidach pirkin. You know, we have a mission in the other perek, which presents to us a case where, in fact, spilling of the blood invalidates it, where it spilled directly from the neck of the animal without being collected first. So we're looking for a case where spilled blood is possible. Nishbach ala ritzpah vasaf a possible. If the dam spilled straight on the floor, out of the animal, even though he collected it into a kli, it's too late, because the kabbalah process has to be directly from the animal. Now, if we're looking for a case which is possible, why do we have to go to a new situation, a new circumstance? Just stick to the former circumstance and, you know, present a distinction within that circumstance, if what you're saying is true. Now, when the blood spills out of the kli on the floor, it depends on which direction it went. Towards the mizbeach is possible, away is safe. So there you go. You have two cases. One is possible, one is kosher, within the same or similar circumstance, without having to go to another circumstance, another set of variables. Live like b'day, could have just made a distinction within the original case. He did shechita, collected the blood in the container, and from the container it spilled on the floor. Is it kosher or pasul? Well, it depends in which direction the blood flowed. By me, devar mamur, when do we say it's okay? Kshas lachutz, when it spilled away. So there was no halacha done. Avo nichnas lefim, but it was trickling towards the mizbeach, which in a way is a halacha, but an invalid halacha, it would be pasul, if in fact what you're saying is true. So you have to, in fact, this is a refutation. This proves that even if it spills inwardly, it would be kosher, because halacha shel biregel, although it's not a fulfillment of halacha, it doesn't make it possible. You can just rectify and redo it. Itma, we have learned, again, regarding halacha shel biregel, transporting the blood without walking it. What's its status? Is it considered an avoida or not? Machlegis, Rav Shimon Rabbanu. At this point, the Gemara figures that it's a machlekes between Reb Shimon, who says halacha shelo biregel is not considered an avoida, and according to this Rabbanan, it's okay. It's considered halacha. Why? How do we get to Reb Shimon Rabbanan? So this is back to the Mishnah, right? Reb Shimon said that the improper machshava of Pigel, right, thinking that he's going to serve the korban to the mizbeach or to the consumers, the kohanim or the owners who can eat it, beyond its allowed time. That makes the korban Pigel. If one eats it, he gets karas. Rav Shimon says it applies to shechita. So during the shechita, he thinks it impacts. Likewise, Kabbalah, Zrika, but not Halacha. And the Gemara figures at this point that the topic of discussion is Halacha Shelo Beregel. Halacha without walking. On that, Rav Shimon says it's not really a proper Halacha, and therefore Machshava does not impact it at all. Whereas the Kuntar Rabbanon, it is considered Halacha, in which case it's susceptible to thoughts of Pigel. That's what the Gemara figures at this point. But Halacha Rabasi, when it's a grand, proper walking Halacha, all agree it's a proper Halacha, of course. Kuli Amale Pligi De Psul, everybody agrees the carbon becomes Pasul if there is Pigel taking place at that juncture, because it's a proper Avoida. And an Avoida which was inundated with Pigel thoughts makes Pigel. Ki Pligi Halacha Zutrasi, Machlekes, revolves around a minor Halacha, meaning passing Halacha, without having walked. Rav Shimon says, it's not reckoned as an Avoida, in which case it's not susceptible to Pigel thoughts. Rabbanan say it is. So that's what we figure at this point. The more later will change and conclude that, according to Rav Shimon, any Halacha is not susceptible to Pigel because it's not inevitable, it's not essential, like we learned the other day. But at this point in the Gemara thought that the Machlekes revolves around our question today. Halacha Shelo Beregel. Is it? Halacha, is it not? Mechaku, they laughed on it. Mechaku, Allah Marav in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they challenged this interpretation. They negated it. If according to Rav Shimon, Halacha Shelo Beregel doesn't qualify as an avoda and is not susceptible to Pigel thoughts, we're going to have a problem on our hands. A chatas ha'if, a bird chatas. So after they do a malika, which is like a shechita with his thumbnail, Kain takes the bird and then waves it towards the mizbeach and allows the blood to sprinkle on the mizbeach. So during that act of hazaa, we know for sure Pigel is certainly impactful at that point. It's susceptible to Pigel. In fact, the hazaa of the chatas ha'ev is its primary step of avoda that actually brings kapara. It's like the zrika by a carbon, right? Now, according to Rav Shimon, if merely passing towards the mizbeach is not considered an avoda, so how do you ever have pigel by chatas oif regarding the hazaa, the sprinkling stage? Ela chatas oif the psula ba machshava regarding a machshava of pigel impacting a chatas oif during the hazaa. Little Shimon, according to Rav Shimon, how's that going to happen? There's no point in time for it to attach itself to the carbon. Look, let's break down the process here. Either chashav Allah, if perhaps the machshava pigel was applied on the carbon mikami delay pukdam before the blood left the bird, so while he was waving it, even though he was waving it towards the mizbeach, which is like a halacha because he's taking, but like klumi, there's nothing going on. It's not halacha because it's halacha shelo beregel. It's just passing. It's just a motion towards the mizbeach. It's not yet hazah because the blood is still in the bird. V'yibasa d'nafak dam. Oh, maybe after the blood left the animal, well, that's too late. It's out of his hands. Isavidale mitzvasa. The mitzvah of hazah has been fulfilled and completed. So there's no point in time where pigel can attach itself to hazaa of chatas ha'if. Before the blood left, that's halacha shelo beregel. After the blood left, it's too late. My kushi, what's the problem? Dilma mid the parish v'adamot l'mizbeach. Perhaps while the blood is mid-flight, mid-air, from the moment it leaves the bird until it reaches the mizbeach, although it's already out of his hands, but it is considered a fulfillment, a realization of his act of hazaa, and it's not really complete until it reaches its destination, i.e. the mizbeach. So during that juncture, he can think pigel. And his pigel will impact the carbon. As we find, Rabbi Yirmi asked Rabbi Zeir. He asked a question. Interesting question. Typical of Rabbi Yirmi's questions. Hoya maz, a kohen did hazah Okay, which means to say he had the blood sprayed toward the Mizbeach. V'nikta yada yishol mazer. And unfortunately, his hand was removed while the blood that he had just sprayed a second ago was still en route, mid-flight. V'nikta yada yishol mazer. Actually, yagi adam laver Mizbeach, before the blood reached the airspace of the Mizbeach. No. What is the status of that carbon? Shall we say? What do you mean? When he did his act, he was unblemished. He could just walk away, he's done. Or no. His act isn't complete until the blood reaches the Mizbeach. If he became a blemished kohen in the interim, it invalidates the process. And guess what? That's the right answer. Omalib, he told him, psula, it's possible. My time, you know why? V'hiza v'nasan b'inan. Pasuk says, he has to spray v'nasan, have it arrive. Nasan means to apply it directly. So although he's just spraying it, it's similar to the act of a nasan, which means direct application. It means to say that he's not done until the blood reaches the Mizbeach. So that's an answer to our question regarding the machshava of pigul as well. Where? When? While the blood is mid-flight. In which case, the act of azar is in play. In which case, it's susceptible to pigul. So what's the problem with the way we understood the machlekes of Shimon the Rabbana? Perhaps according to Rabbi Shimon, halacha shel beregel is not a halacha, is not an avoida. And regarding the pigul of chatasayif, we figured it out. He also Rav Papa, Rav Huna, when they came from the yeshiva in Beirav, Amri, they explained what the issue was. Amri, hainu chucha, let us explain to you why in the West they weren't happy with this explanation. There's no machlekes when the kohen is actually walking the blood. All agree it's considered an avoida, in which case it's susceptible to pigul. Let's take a close look at the Mishnah. Actually, Reb Shimon makes this point regarding the standard conventional walking halacha. He says, look, even when you're walking with the blood, you can't think pigul, because since you could avoid that step, had he brought the animal closer to the Mizbeach, he wouldn't have to walk at all. So it's not considered an essential element of the avoda, in which case it's not susceptible to pigul. So clearly they're discussing even walking halacha. It's not a specific question of non-walking halacha, like you have suggested. Ella, you're right, says the Gemara. You're right. By halacha zutrasi, if it's a non-walking halacha, just a passing halacha, kulam lepligi, all agree. The pasul. That in fact, if he's thinking pigul at that point, it's pasul. Because that motion is inevitable. It's essential. You can't do it without waving the bird to the Mizbeach. Ki pligi b'lach rabbasim. Machlekes is, in fact, when he's taking that longer route, because he chose to shecht the animal at a distance. So that route that he's walking on is really halacha, but it's not an essential halacha. On that way, we have a machlekes. Reb Shimon says, pigul doesn't impact it. Rabbanan say it does. Continues the Gemara. Ha'ilichai zar v'echzir ha'ikayin v'chazar v'ilichai. I got an interesting case regarding a regular walking halacha. So we discussed halacha shalai b'regel. It's not good, but you can actually rectify it. Now we're going to discuss a regular halacha. Problem is, a non-kayin did it. Ha'ilichai zar. Halacha was executed by a zar, a non-kayin. The kohen got a hold of him and said, what are you doing? Took the blood from him and went back to the starting point. And then the kohen, in fact, walked into the Mizbeach. Can you rectify a halacha beregel, a full halacha that a zar did? See, here it's worse than halacha shle beregel, which we concluded you can fix up, because that was just an absence. It wasn't done properly. There was no halacha done. So you can just redo it properly. Here, in a way, it's worse. Perhaps. Because it was a full-fledged halacha. He walked the blood. Problem is, Ezar did it. Perhaps that's a negative factor. It's a psul. You can't undo it. Pligibo, in fact, it's a machlekes between Bnei Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yami. Echad Amar Kasha, one says it's okay. You can fix it up. Echad Amar Apostle, other one says no. Once it's done, it's possible. Marasava Efshal Tekuna, once you decide it's okay, you can rectify it. After all, halacha is very different than the other steps of the process. It's just transportation. So you can undo it. Once I put it back to the starting point, I undid the experience. So I can redo it and fix it. Mar Savalev Shalat Kun Alishita says no. Once it was done wrong, it's too late. Now comes another case, which is actually exactly the opposite. It started properly with a kohen. Hayduch kohen. The kohen walked it to the mizbeach. V'yachziri. Now he decided to come back. So he walked it back to the starting point. V'chazar v'lichazar. Now a zar, for some reason, grabbed the container and walked it to the mizbeach. So he pretty much undid a proper halacha executed by a proper kohen. So perhaps now the tables turn. It's exactly the opposite of the previous halacha. Amar Avsim Brachil. Yeah, l'dibri ha-machshir. The opinion that in the first scenario would okay it. Because the kohen there rectified what the tzar did. So we look at, you know, what happened last. So in this case, poysel. In this case, it would be invalidated. He would make it poysel because the final act was done by the tzar. On the other hand, divrei poysel, the opinion that held that in the first case, you can't rectify. You look at the initial halacha, which was done by a tzar, so it's possible. In this case, just the opposite, machshir. He'd be okay with it, because the initial halacha was done by a kohen. Rav Amar Rav says, no, here it's worse. Afal divrei poysel, even according to this opinion, who held that in the first case it's possible, because we look at the initial. So you think in this case it's kosher because the initial was done by the kohen? No! Possible would be possible in this case. My time, you know why? Tatzarach lam tuyeh. Fact is, where is the blood right now? At a distance, far away. It's way back where it started. So you have to bring it in. Inevitably, you have to transport it. And that has to be done by a kohen. So although, technically, it was unnecessary, it could have been unnecessary had the kohen left it by the mizbeach, but not the tzar. Well, the kohen brought it back to the starting point. Just start the process over again. You have to bring it back. And this is in fact necessary. And it qualifies as proper halacha. It has to be done by a kohen, otherwise it's possible. Amar Rav Yirmiya, Rav Ashi. Hachi Amar Rav Yirmiya Midifti. He told us like this. This new idea that we ignore theory, we have to look at what's happening in practice. Huh? Tzorach lam tuyeh, this svara of tzorach lam tuyeh, is really a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan back in the Mishnah. This non of a Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar, I mean. So at this point, we had two shittos regarding the status of halacha vis-a-vis pigel, susceptibility. Rabbanan say halacha is susceptible to pigel. Rabbi Shimon says pretty much not, because it's not essential. You can just do without it. Rabbi Elazar takes sort of a middle route. It depends. If it's a necessary walk, fine. If it's an unnecessary walk, then it's not susceptible to pigel. If he's walking where he needs to walk, towards the mizbeach, so it's a proper halacha. Machshava peiselos, so a machshava impacts it. But makim shein tzorach lahalach, if he's walking unnecessarily, ein machshava peiselos, it's not susceptible to thoughts of pigel. V'amar Rabba, Rabba comes to explain what he means. Akol moed, all agree. There's no question. Kibla b'chutz. If he did the Kabbalah away from the mizbeach, at a distance, yichnisa b'pnim, and he walked the blood towards the mizbeach, of course, that's a necessary walk. Zeu hilach, shetzorach lahalach. So that's for certain. On the other hand, kibla b'pnim. Let's say the Kabbalah was done close to the mizbeach. Yitzia l'chutz, decided to walk it away from the mizbeach. Zeu hilach, shetzorach lahalach. That's an unnecessary walk, which is going to all shittas. From Blaz and the Tanakama, it doesn't really count. Lo nechol g'machlekes is in our case. Ella, sheikh nisa. Initially, he transported it toward the mizbeach. Fine. V'chaz v'yitzi, and then he took it away. And now, the blood is situated at a distance. You have to bring it back in. But you didn't really have to, had you left it by the mizbeach. So that's theory versus practice. Our machlekes. Mar savar hatzorach lam tuyi. Tanakham says, listen, end of the day, you have to bring it in. It's inevitable, right? So it's a necessary walk. Umar Sabala Lav Kiluch Hatzorach Lavay the Dami Ruleza says no, it's not a necessary walk. You could have done without it. Right? A self-made problem. So it doesn't count as a void. So it turns out that this svara of Tzorach Lamtuyeh is really machlokes. Eisvei Abaye. Comes Abaye with a kasha. Because we have a brisa which actually explains Rabbi Elazar's shita differently than the way you explained it. He's walking where he needs to. Machshava peiselah, machshava impact. It's Ketan, he explains. For instance, kibla bechutz v'chnis lifnim. The kavala was done at a distance and then was transported towards the mizbeach. Yep. Zeo, that's considered hiluch shetzorach lach, which is required. But kibla bifnim v'chiy lachutz. However, the kavala was done near the mizbeach and he decided to transport it away. So that walk away from the mizbeach, zeo, is considered a hiluch which is unnecessary shetzorach lahalach. But it's implied from the brisa. Yeah, the way out is not necessary. But once it's out there, he decided to take it away. Now it's sitting at a distance. What about the part where he's bringing it back in? It would seem from the brisa that it is considered necessary. It is considered an integral part of the halacha. He looks at Tzorach Lahalachu. And this is Rabbi Elazar speaking. So clearly all agree that the walk back from the distant location, irrespective of the reason, of the circumstance, of how it got there, it's unnecessary. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Fact is, now it's necessary to bring it back. And so it's halacha, as per we explained earlier. Amalisi says, you're right. So Rabbi tells Abaye, Itanya. Okay, if he found it in a brisa, Tanya. Okay, I accept the brisa. Let's move on. Okay, so in a nutshell, we discussed halacha, which is preferably done beregel, otherwise it's not really a proper halacha, and could be redone. Regarding a zar doing halacha, well, that's certainly going to be possible. And the question is, can it be fixed up? Then we concluded that we see from the brisa, we see from that basically we have three shitas. Tanakama says that pigel can apply itself to any aspect of halacha. Rav Shimon says typically pigel doesn't apply to halacha because halacha could be avoided. You can just bring the animal near the mizbech and avoid, bypass the whole halacha step. Rav Elazar strikes sort of a compromise. If it's a required halacha, such as bringing it towards the mizbeach, yeah. But it's away, if it's away from the mizbeach, then it doesn't really count for halacha and it's not susceptible to pigul. So that's the third shita. And actually, it would seem like it's a third shita, but Ashi learns that actually Rabbi Elazar is explaining the Tanakam. Tanakam himself was submitted to that distinction between necessary walks and unnecessary walks. So at the end of the day, we only have two shitas. Reb Shimon says, basically, halacha is never susceptible to pigel, because it's something that could be bypassed. Whereas the other shita, Leza and Tanakama holds, depends if it was a necessary walk or not. Hanul Chlazvach, says the Mishnah. Here comes a list of individuals who are not really qualified to do the avoda, to process a korban, to work in the Mikdash. Even if they're Kohanim. As we're going to see from the Pesukim, and in fact, not only shouldn't they be there, but if they do proceed, and they do avoid it, do work, the carbon becomes possible, disqualified, becomes mechulal, becomes mundane, becomes affected by their involvement. Kol azvachim shekiblu damen. So we know that typically anybody can do shechita, that's why the starting point here is Kabbalah, which is step number two. That is considered bona fide avodah. So all the karbanis whose blood was collected by the following individuals: Zar was a non-Kayin, Oinein, even a Kayin, but he just experienced a death of a close family relative. So on the day of, he's called an Oinein, he should not be engaged in work. Tvul Yoyim, a Kayin who was Tamei, now immersed in a mikvah and is awaiting sunset, so he's partially impure. Vuchas Kippurim, or he's still awaiting his karbanis. He became tar, but he has to finish the process of purification by bringing his karbanis. Hasn't done that yet. Vuchas Begadim, a Kayin who's missing his full attire. Shleuchot Zerdaim Raglam, he hasn't rinsed his hands and feet prior to work. Aral, he didn't experience a bris. Tame is impure. Yoshev, he's in a seated position. You have to be standing when you serve Hashem. Oyimei Dalgabi Kemel, he's standing on a kli. Agabi Bema, on an animal. Agabi Rechaveir, on this fellow Kohen's foot is not actually in contact with the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, pasul in all these cases, it disqualifies the carbon. Kibul b'smol pasul. Likewise, if he collects the blood with his left hand, it's pasul. Shimon Machshu, Shimon says it's okay, left is okay. Zor Menol says, how do we know that Zor shouldn't be engaged in Avoida? Tanei Levi, but the pasul dabu b'nei Yisrael, larim no bonav v'ignosru, mikotcha b'nei Yisrael. So the pasuk is telling the Kehanim, be careful. Don't work when you're tummy. Keep away. Vinozra means to keep away, separate. Mikotcha b'nei Yisrael from the karbonis of b'nei Yisrael. Now b'nei Yisrael sounds like the males. Karbonis which were brought by male owners. Implying that female carbon owners, well, their carbon doesn't have to be done properly. Really? Even a Kohen whose tummy can engage in a carbon of an Isha? B'nei Yisrael, the word B'nei Yisrael, L'mutim, I wasn't coming to exclude. Ilim L'mutim, Noshim. The carbon of women? Really? Carbon Noshim? B'tumah Korob? Just because it's a carbon of an Isha. Why does that allow a Kohen to work when he's tummy? Rashi puts it like this: why would you think the carbon of an isha can override the tuma concern? There's no reason for that. Elo rather lumuti of the kichav. The pasuk here is excluding carbonas that are sent by goyim. Rashi brings that a goy can actually send a donation, can send the carbon. So if it's the carbon of a goy, no worries if you work when you're tummy. Really? How could you say that? Hash the tzitz le'meratz. The tzitz is the plate on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, which had the words Kodesh Hashem, had the ability to be meratzah, to atone for, to override, to solve some issues of tumah. Rashi brings the Gemara in Menachas. We have Gemaras in Psachim that if in fact the carbon material, the blood or whatever, became tumah, and the Kohen, not realizing it, did the avodah. The tzitz atones for it, it covers for it. But it doesn't atone for tuma concerns by a carbon of a goy. Hash the tzitz l'meratza, even the tzitz cannot be meratza on the carbon of a goy. That's as we learned. Regarding the carbon of a goy, bein b'shoy, bein b'mezit, lo hirtza. If they process this carbon when it was tummy, whether it was intentionally or not, there's no ritzi tzitz, the tzitz doesn't cover for it. So if that's the case, how can you fathom, how can you suggest the tumah karav that a kohen who's personally tummy can process the carbon of a goy? Rashi explains, the tzitz never covers for personal tumah. At most, tumah pertains to the material of the carbon. And even that doesn't work by a goy. Certainly, it won't cover for the tumah on account of the kohen who's actually serving, which never is an option. So that option is off the table. So what then does the pasuk mean? V'yinozer mikotcha b'nei Yisrael. The pasuk means like this. It's coming to warn. This is Rasha. The pasuk is also coming to warn. A zor, b'nei Yisrael, keep away from karbame. It's not your business. V'inazru, mikache, b'nei Yisrael, v'lo yichalu. The pasuk is addressing the b'nei Yisrael. V'inazru, the b'nei Yisrael should be Venus to separate themselves. Keep away. Keep a distance from the carbones. That's the Kohen's business, not your business. Otherwise, the carbon become mechulal and pasul. Okay? Here's a source that a zar has no business doing avoid, and if he does, it becomes pasul. All the best to you, Natsalacharav.